Welcome to this week's Blue Room with me, Peter McPart, and I'm in the studio with Matt Jones, and we are breaking new ground on the show. We have Joe Jennings in Qatar. Joe, how hot is it in Qatar?
It's only about 21.
My heart bleeds for you, mate, because I look out the window here, and honest to God, it is grey, wet, horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I certainly don't miss that.
The tower's not shaking quite yet.
No, it isn't shaking at the moment, but give it 10 minutes. What are you doing in Qatar? Tell the world what you're doing in Qatar.
I took a teaching job here at the end of August, and it's been a fantastic opportunity so far. Really opened my eyes to a different world, so to speak.
And what's it like watching Everton from somewhere like Qatar? Because you were a home and away. Well, you know.
It's I'm not going to lie, it is difficult. And I've never really been a telly clapper, if you will.
there's a portion of our audience offended already.
No, I've got nothing against it. Just like it's not really me. Obviously, I'm used to going to games, so it's being difficult to adjust to being that type of fan. And it's been frustrating watching as well. But obviously, I've got a few games in over Christmas, which I really enjoyed despite the results.
I thought Everton had banished you out to Qatar, mate, after all the stuff you were saying at the end of last season. I thought they packed you up and sent you out there.
I think possibly a few people in the club may have been pleased.
Thing is, we've been talking about this because you met up with a mate of mine over there and formed a stunning relationship on the football field. And he works in, like, where Everton went last year.
Aspire.
And we were talking about this, and when you were home, I think like Paris Saint-Germain and a few other teams were there, weren't they? Did you miss all of them?
I missed PSG and Inter Milan. They had a game one, I think it was the 30th of December. And then last week, Bayern Munich have been here, and I didn't get the chance to go and see them train, so I was a bit gutted, really.
Oh my God, could have been hobnobbing with Zlatan, but instead you were in Newcastle. But you wouldn't have missed Newcastle, let's be fair. Might have missed Stoke, but you wouldn't have missed Newcastle.
It was a great day. It was a very un-Everton-like win, to be honest, to get a last-minute winner. I couldn't remember the last time we'd scored a last-minute winner. I don't remember many under Martinez, to be fair, so it was a welcome boost.
Yeah. Certainly was. Right, let's get into it. We've had a couple of games since last week. Obviously, the massive League Cup tie against Manchester City, and obviously the quite dour Dagenham and Redbridge game, which the best bit about the Dagenham and Redbridge game was the cat, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it's, you know, as Martin said, great movement.
Great movement of the cat. Was that game live at all in Qatar?
No, like it was impossible to watch it, which was a bit frustrating.
I know, this is the thing about the FA Cup, and we were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, Matt? It's like they want to have this tournament, and they wanted to make it a great tournament and keep up the standards. Yet you're an Everton fan in a foreign country who can watch any game he wants. Mm. Premier League, Bundesliga, everything, yeah. Serie A, La Liga, everything, week in and week out, and then the FA Cup's on, and you can't get to watch it.
I'm surprised that, because obviously over here, BN Sport with Keys and Gray, who they work for, they've got the monopoly, so every Saturday they have every Premier League game live from 3 o'clock, and you can basically watch them all, but it's surprising that you can't get access to the FA Cup games. It's a bit of a missed market, really.
Even the games he had on over here, I didn't think were very good. You know, Manchester United at home against Sheffield United, Chelsea at home against Scunthorpe United, and they're like the big target audience, but who really wants to watch, you know, United playing at home against a League One side and the same for Chelsea? I think they could have been a bit more creative with the picks for the weekend, really.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
I think they should be given back to the clubs, and the clubs should have be able to sell it. Well, not sell it, but put it out internationally and let all those fans. Because I don't know if you're aware, Joe, but on Saturday, Everton's commentary wasn't available either because of maintenance. And obviously, people abroad, the people who did have the radio commentary, not this radio. couldn't put it out abroad because of broadcasting rules and stuff. And Sky Sports News said Dagenham and Redbridge had equalised. So you can imagine the absolute fume on Twitter when people were like, well, whose fault that then? Because Tim Howard wasn't in goal and things like that. And you're like, they haven't scored. They didn't even get close to scoring. They were absolutely abysmal. So I don't know how Sky Sports done that, but that just shows you how like one little piece of misinformation can just spark just absolute fume amongst the fan base.
It's quite silly, really, given the presence and the power that the TV companies have now, that we're in the day and age where we can't watch a game live. It just seems a bit daft to me.
Yeah, I think...
Especially the FA Cup.
I think Everton should take... well, not just Everton, but I think football clubs should be able to take back that power and be able to, like, put it out on their own club channels, just for the international fans. Because just to keep people involved.
The only thing with that, though, is the attendances in it aren't great at the moment, are they? And if you put it out there on a package which you can sell to other fans around the world or in this country, then that's only going to make it less well attended.
Matt, I'm talking about abroad. How would a game that is getting broadcast in another country possibly end up on a TV screen in the UK, Matt? How is that possible, Matt? Are you telling me there's some kind of way of watching?
Is it a genuine question?
Is there some kind of way of watching games that are on abroad in the UK?
Not that I know of.
Okay,
I'm just talking.
Just wanted to make sure, Matt.
But if they packaged it and they could sell it to fans in this country, is what I mean. But no, I'm not aware of any like illegal, methods or anything like that.
That's good to know. It's good to know. I want to make sure that everyone on this show is above board and above the level. That's why we got rid of that Dave Bennett fella. Right, let's get to it. Obviously, last Wednesday night. We were there, Matt. You weren't, Joe. what time was this game on, Matt? Joe?
It was 11 o'clock, Doha time, so it was a late night, to be fair. So I don't think the kids got a great education on the Thursday.
Yeah, not new there, is there? brilliant setup, brilliant atmosphere, Matt. Martinez continued what he had done from the end of the Spurs game, what we've been talking about, keeping that solid shape. And going from there, and again, it all fitted into place.
Yeah, it showed that we can be balanced. There's been times this season when, we've mentioned before the Stoke game, the Leicester game, even at times against Norwich when we were too cavalier, we were wide open on the counter-attack. Great going forward, really free-flowing passing, but as soon as teams came at us, whether it was set pieces on the break, putting us under pressure in the game, we did tend to crumble, but that match showed that's the blueprint he's got to stick with going forward now with a player like Mo Besic in there who, had his flaws, and we talked about him quite extensively on last week's show about how we both felt he could do a job in the team, and he came in, he moved the ball well, got stuck in, got the crowd going, and just gave us a solid base and protected the centre-backs, helped protect Gareth Barry as well, and the whole team just looked a lot more compact throughout. So I just hope he sticks with this blueprint going forward now, because in Ross Barkley, Gerard Deulofeu and Romelu Lukaku, I feel as though we've got enough going forward to trouble any team. We don't need a player like Kone who's going to float off the left-hand side and join in and make us really exposed on that side. So just as long as he sticks with this template going forward and doesn't revert back to the free-flowing, risky cavalier football that we've seen earlier in the campaign. And with games against City coming up, obviously, again twice in the next few weeks, we've got Chelsea away. That's hopefully something he'll stick to, and hopefully the team will continue to perform well. And Martinez will realise, hang on a second, I haven't got to go all out attacking every match this season. I can be conservative, I can be solid and still get results and still play good football too.
Joe?
No, I completely agree with what Matt just said. I thought we played with a much stronger intensity, which was good to see. And I thought we looked more defensively sound, which probably helped having Joel Robles in goal as opposed to Tim Howard.
Keep that powder dry. Keep that powder dry.
I was obviously one of his biggest critics. It was a very much a Moyes type performance at times. Although we did keep the ball, I thought the highlight for me was when we went down to 10. Was it when Coleman went off?
Yeah.
In the last 5 or 6 minutes, and he just didn't get a kick. We just kept the ball so well, and we were playing with confidence. It was good to see, but I couldn't help but feel at the end of the game that, and this might be perceived negative, whatever. I'm not convinced that 2-1 will be enough on the night, because I think although we look more defensively sound, I just worry that away goal or their goal effectively will hurt us in the second leg. But it was a positive performance, absolutely.
I tend to agree with what you're saying there with the scoreline, but I honestly don't feel like we could have done any more on the night. Do you know what I mean? It was like...
I agree.
The scoreline is nervous. It is nervy, and we did have a couple of chances. Ross Barkley had a couple of chances, and... we went close a few times, but I just don't feel like we could have done any more. And as you say, we went down to the 10 men as well, and we put so much into that game, and players getting injured and things like that. So I'm quite satisfied. I'm satisfied by the way we're playing, because I've been getting, you know, I've been getting increasingly more annoyed by Roberto Martinez. I just haven't, you know.
Never would have guessed that.
You wouldn't have. But you, Joe, you know me. You've sat next to me while we've spoke to Roberto Martinez, and you know I generally do like the man.
I don't think anyone could not like the man.
No,
And obviously, this season has been frustrating. I think for many people, the judgment will come at the end of the season. And a lot of people will judge based on this cup run as well, because obviously now we're in a situation where this year it's 21 years without a trophy. So that has got to be the priority to end that horrific drought.
Yeah.
But obviously, criticism will come when you're managing a club like Everton. This isn't Wigan. It is Swansea. And let's be honest, he's assembled a squad that should be doing a lot better than it is doing at the moment domestically in the league.
Do you not think his judgment should come, just to segue a little bit, do you not think his judgment should come now? Because if you look at the way we played in the last half an hour against Tottenham and against Manchester City, and it's something that a lot of supporters have been calling out for, me and Ped have been calling out for it for a few weeks, about how we need to show the team, but we need to not be so cavalier and going forward. And we've seen against two very good sides that formula has worked. And if he does revert back to the same sort of situations which have got us in trouble the last few weeks, if he does bring Tim Howard back into the team, which we do think is going to happen, then that's a major issue for me, because it seems as though by hook or by crook, he's stumbled upon this 11 and he seems to have found the right formula going forward. But if he reverts back to the same way which has been causing us problems and shows these blind spots again which have been served in the last few weeks, then that's got to be a huge concern.
No, I completely agree, Matt. And to be honest, anyone that knows me will know that I've defended Roberto Martinez to the hilt, and I think with good reason, to be honest, given what he showed us in that first season and what this squad is capable of doing. But I've seen lots of good points, to be fair, which I've not really considered up until recently while I've been away, is that in that first season, we had the perfect blend of Martinez's attacking style and Moyes' defence effectively just still sound and solid. And we looked a much stronger unit, whereas now, as you referred to before, obviously the defensive frailties have crept in this season. We concede far too many goals. And we're in a situation now where we've got the top goal scorer in the Premier League, and we're still 11th in the league. It's farcical, absolutely farcical.
Yeah, it's like Roberto's just gone. He's just veered too far one way, and he did need coming back slightly more to the centre ground. And I think, you know, what we've seen in the Spurs game and what we've seen in the City game seemingly suggests that the penny may have dropped with him as well. I really do think the penny dropped with him as well, because it was just going ridiculous. I mean, you look back to the Leicester game and you look back to the Stoke game.
Stoke.
You know, it was just getting silly, and everyone can see it. And I'm one of these people who I think the media at times perceive fans as quite stupid in a way. Like they're watching something, but they're not experts, and yet you ask fans, and I'm not talking like, you know, fans who sit together. I'm talking just if you picked 10 individuals out of the crowd at Goodison, the 10 would probably, you know, 8 would probably likely give you the same problems and give you the same solutions as well. And I think don't get me wrong, I don't think Roberto's gone on Twitter and gone, oh, he said let's play this way, so I'm going to play this way. But he certainly realised that, you know, there is two ways to play, and they effectively get the same, you know, you can get the same result, his end result, sorry, with the two ways. We can still be attacking, Rom can still score goals, Gerard Deulofeu can still be, you know, hugging the touchline, Ross Barkley can still be all over the park, but we can be solid as a team and still do all that. And I think that's what may have dropped, whether it's by accident or by design. That has to continue, because for me, that's the only way we're gonna win games or win a trophy. To be that open, you've got to have absolute top class players in every position, and we just don't have that. So you've just got to think to yourself, right, let's just be a little bit more solid as a team and go from there.
No, I completely agree, and we all look at that team now, and at the front three or four on the day are absolutely frightening. But it all stems back to the goalkeeper situation for me. And as you remember, last summer, I think it was May, when we sat down with the manager at Finch Farm, and I actually asked him, based on when he dropped Robles last season, and he'd kept three clean sheets, I think, on the bounce. And I asked him how difficult a decision was it to drop him, given he was in such good form. And I think his answer was that it was the most difficult decision of the season. Now, that, at the time, concerned me because it was just a no-brainer. He'd earned the shirt and he'd proven that he could do it. And he's making the same noises again now about Tim Howard's know-how and Tim Howard's unique situation. I'm not interested in that, to be honest. Tim Howard has proven this season that he's a complete liability to the side. And not only that, it's quite clear now that whoever's in front of him do not have the confidence. And it's just, it's not even our own defence, it's the other teams. You can see in Spurs, just having pot shot after pot shot from 30, 35 yards, because they know that he's likely to throw one in. And the knock-on effect it has to the rest of the side is just absolutely ridiculous.
Joe, in the stadium as well for the last couple of games, the atmosphere has just been so much calmer as well with Joel at the back. And even though he made a brilliant save against City from De Bruyne and one in the first half from Aguero, and aside from that, he's not actually had that much to do. And you know, anyone watching like highlights or something will think, oh, you know, he's not had that much there. He's not really proven himself. Howard should come straight back in. But actually being there and watching him, he's such a much more settling influence on the back four and the players and the fans in the crowd as well, because his distribution's fast, it's sharp, he's talking to the players all the time, he comes in, gets things, comes off his line, distribution in terms of like long range kicking's absolutely superb, and he just seems to settle everyone down a lot more. And again, I mentioned before about these blind spots which Roberto does seem to have in some of his management. This is the biggest one for me, and we've been talking about this on this show for a year now, and we said ultimately this is something which could cost Martinez his job at Everton. And if he doesn't
I can see that point of view completely. Yeah. And what perplexes me is that he obviously has faith in him because he's brought him from Madrid and Wigan, obviously. And he put faith in him when he was playing in the Cups at Wigan and he was outstanding during that Cup run. And he's not... If he was 18, 19 years of age, I'd understand his reluctance to give him the shirt and give him 10, 12, 15 games that he needs. But he's not. He's 24, 25 years of age now. And I know that's still relatively young for a goalkeeper, but he's demonstrated in the 10, 15, 20 starts he's had for Everton in the last few seasons that he can do the job. He can do the job, and it's going to reach a point now where, as I remember Ped said on a video a few weeks ago, that it will cost Roberto his job. I don't for one minute think he's under pressure, by the way, from this board.
No, I genuinely don't, because
as Bill Kenwright told us in 2011, he doesn't set targets for his manager. So I'm not sure what other chairman in the Premier League doesn't set targets for his manager, but there you go.
I think when I actually said that, I think... it was more just sort of, in the eyes of the fans, he's going to lose the fans more than anything else by making those decisions. And Roberto come out again today and said Tim Howard will be back for the City game, which I'm not surprised by, really. I mean, I want to be outraged, but I'm not really outraged because I knew it was going to happen. But that strikes me as just daft because as Matt just mentioned there, the last couple of games, I thought he was great against Manchester City. He did all the basic things right.
It was a save in the second half. Yeah. I was the most impressed with, I think it was Aguero when he tipped it wide. He got down low.
Yeah, De Bruyne it was, I think it was. De Bruyne. He made a good save in the first half as well. But his little things like there was a corner that come over and it was headed towards him. He took it and just got us on the attack straight away. And as Matt was just saying again there, the ground on Wednesday night, it was like it's one less thing to worry about. It's like you don't have to worry about. There's, you know, it's daft. And what I don't understand about what the Man City game coming up is, this is a perfect opportunity to get Robles in the, to keep him in the team and get used to his surroundings going into Everton's biggest game for the last 3 or 4 years since the semi final against Liverpool at Wembley. It's a big chance for him to get to know his surroundings and you know, understand what City are like at home and without losing any quality in the goal as well, which, you know, is the most important thing. And yet, Tim Howard's coming back because of his experience. What does that mean?
Ozzy and Tony are back in then, if that's the case.
But that's it. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, and how he seems, he waxes lyrical about having a team full of young players and that's great, but he's happy to have a 21-year-old centre-back. He's happy to have a young lad leading the line. He's happy to have a young lad in the centre of midfield dictating games. He's got a young winger there as well on the team. So why does he seem to throw all that out and all this trust out in young players when it comes to the goalkeeper? And like you mentioned before, Joe, it's clear that he rates him because he's brought him in from Atletico Madrid. He's brought him in from Wigan. So it just continues to baffle me. And there's no better way to prepare Robles for a game against Manchester City away, which is massive, than by playing him against Manchester City in a game, which is massive. And just not even, I think a lot of managers in that situation, regardless of the goalkeeping predicament, would just keep the player in there just to give him a run, just to give him a bit of consistency and get him used to the surroundings. But the fact that he's going to take him out, put him back in again, it just beggars belief, doesn't it? And
the situation for me now is quite uncomfortable, really. Like, even from the games that I caught over Christmas, it's not a case of whether he's good enough or not, because clearly he's not anymore. But the point for me is he's been a good servant for this club, and is it 10 years he's been there this season?
Yeah, yeah.
And for 7 or 8 of those years, I'd say he was generally very good and unreliable. And it's got to a situation now where it's getting quite nasty with the fans.
It is.
And I think Martinez has got a responsibility as a manager. He's not a manager who's been in the game for 2 or 3 years. He's quite experienced now, given he's been at 3 or 4 clubs. He needs to take him off the firing line, because it's getting to the point where it's just going to kick off. It's not pleasant to see. It is getting
a little bit ugly. Which has already been seen with the clapping and stuff. I mean, we spoke about this before. That kind of stuff's silly. It's just, he shouldn't be getting distracted by people in the crowd. He should be concentrating on his own game. But you know what? Forget about Tim Howard. It's Joel Robles that is the main thing for me. I just think he's a better goalkeeper. And I've said this so many times, and I feel like I'm repeating myself for about the 8th millionth time. I just feel like he's a better goalkeeper at the moment. Whether he's Everton's long-term goalkeeper, I don't know, because I haven't seen enough of him. And that's why I'd like to see him for the rest of the season. And this is why
he needs to run a game.
But this is what I don't understand
until he gets that.
But this is what I don't understand, because he's in for the cup games, which at the moment, well, they are the only thing we can possibly win. We can't win the Premier League. We're sort of at a, We're right in the middle. We can go up or down, but I don't think we're really going to make a real dent on either end. I mean, we might push for the Europa League places. I don't generally believe we're going to push for the Champions League places. So why not just put him in there? I hate using the word, what does Tim Howard have over him? But what is this? What is there in Tim Howard, in his game or in his stature, that can possibly be more important than actually being good in goal?
It's part of the badge.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's, I think everyone's asking the same question, to be honest. And obviously Roberto's the only one who's got the answers, but they're not very convincing answers at the moment for the majority of the fan base.
The thing with the goalkeeping position as well, it's completely different to anything else on the pitch, isn't it? And it's so important, because if you've got a dodgy goalkeeper, and it transcends through the rest of your team, your defence gets shaky, the midfield again gets shaky, and it does just move up all the way through. And to come in for one game, then come out again for a few weeks, then come in for another game, then come out for a few weeks, there's no way that Joel can even build up a rhythm. He can't build up much affinity with the players. He's going to probably come in against Manchester City in a few weeks' time, and he's going to have a completely different back four in front of him, because Seamus Coleman's injured.
It's not just that. You're spot on. It's as Ped said before, though, it's putting needless pressure on him as well, because this, as Ped said, this is going to be basically our biggest game in 3 or 4 years. And if he messes up, then the responsibility will be at his door. Whereas if you give him a few games to settle himself, and as Ped said, you know, familiarise himself with the surroundings, he'd be a lot more comfortable going into that game.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You'll be going into that game cold. You know, whereas now he could have the Man City game, he'd have the Chelsea game, Swansea game as well, is it?
Yeah.
You'll have those 3 games, 3 Premier League games, and then be in the cup match. And that to me just makes sense. That's good management. That's sensible management. You've got, maybe in Roberto's mind, the 2 goalies are quite at an even level, but Tim Howard's winning because of the experience. But how's he going to get experience? You know, this is some other lad who's won an FA Cup, who's made big saves in an FA Cup final. Yeah. He has got experience. But what I worry about is, when that League Cup semi-final comes, like you've just said, Joe, that he might be cold, that he might be caught by... We've seen it before with Joel, that on one-off games,
Barnsley in the cup.
Yeah, he does get caught out. I mean, that's one of the things actually that has put a lot of, which I've put a lot of faith in the last few games, is he hasn't made those mistakes. So now I'm starting to feel like mentally he's got it. But it could still happen. And if it does happen, then what will people say? People will turn around and go, well, we've got two terrible goalies now. And that's going to make the situation so much worse.
A very similar thing actually happened in Martinez's first season when Joel came in for the Arsenal game, the quarterfinal. Mm. We went down there and we did get beat 4-1.
Oh, yeah.
In that game, he came in cold, he'd hardly played, and he flapped at a few crosses in the first half, made a couple of errors. Didn't actually lead to any goals, but everyone behind the goal that day was thinking, oh my God, this fella's a clown. He doesn't, you know, he's got no clue. And when you look back at it now and think about it a couple of years later, he'd hardly played that season. Mm. Going to the Emirates Stadium in a massive game against the back foot. I think John Stones had just come into the team around that point, and he was just getting settled as well. To come into that environment and just play a one-off game was so hard for a goalkeeper against a quality Arsenal team. So I think he was harshly judged at the time, and obviously Howard came back in, and that was kind of when Tim started to decline a lot more and into the next season. So he needs 10 games to be judged.
As a confidence point of view, I mean, what is Joel thinking when he's watching Tim Howard perform so bad and he still can't get in apart from the cup game? Surely that must have a knock-on effect on his confidence as well.
And the rest of the squad. If players are pushing to get into the team and they see a senior player who's in there who's past his best and struggling, then what are they going to think? What's the point of me pushing hard to try and get into the first team if I'm not going to be able to budge out this senior player?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree. I just look at it and I just think, well, what happens when James McCarthy comes back? Does that mean Mo Bessage goes out the side, or that would be consistent with what he's doing at the moment? I just don't understand it. I just can't wrap my head around it. We talk about it every single week, and as Joel continues to get better, it's going to be highlighted even more and more. What if we get to the final? And you've got a situation.
That's
where
I was thinking about this morning, because obviously, are we going to be in a situation then where Roberto's saying that Tim Howard's got unique know-how and experience and all this other nonsense?
But he won't, though. He will play Joe Robles in the final, I guarantee that, and that's what should happen. But then that would just make an absolute mockery of the whole situation. It would be, a great chance for Everton to win a trophy, and it will just make a mockery of everything that's going on now. For me, you can't say an FA Cup or a League Cup's more important than a Premier League, and you can't say Premier League is more important than a semi-final or a final. So I just don't get the whole thing. If anything's going to happen, he's going to actually destroy Joel by giving him one-off games. For me, confidence-wise, that's the kid just looks like he looks like he's fully in control of the situation at the moment, and just wants to play more and more and more. And Tim Howard, for me, is just finished. And that's the end of it.
That's the top and bottom of it, though. And put like as we mentioned before. Before we come on air, it's arrogance that offends me. And with the clapping nonsense with the fans and his comments in the media, it just smacks of someone who is totally out of sync with the situation. And there's having self-confidence and having mental belief, and then there's just being absolutely deluded by your own performances.
To be fair, I think that's part of his, that's his armour, that's his shield. That's part of his makeup that sort of drives him and pushes him on, is having that arrogance. I can understand that to a point. I think arrogance sometimes is a shield which people will put up to protect themselves from the outside world, to just basically go, well, I'm not bothered, sort of thing. And that is almost like a coping mechanism. I think all top sportsmen have to reassure themselves that they are the real deal.
Yeah, of course.
If that's the case, this is a man who said on a couple of times he's not fussed about critics. Why is he turning around and clapping the fans then and not focusing on the game? Why is he letting an experienced player who's 37 next year, why is he letting that sort of thing get to him? Why isn't he focused? Why isn't he shoring up on his own ability just to shake it off and carry on with the game?
I don't know. Go and ask him. Right. Let's just turn our attention to that FA Cup game on Saturday. It was dull. Very much so. But it was dull in a good way. We got through. We were never really in danger. There was nothing. A Dagenham and Redbridge, honest to God, I don't want to be too critical of them, but come and have a go, lads. You must have seen the team sheet and thought, right, let's have a little go at these today. They didn't, but regardless of the opposition, from our point of view, Joe, players we had out, I don't know how much of this game you've seen, but for me, I was a little bit disappointed in a couple of players, namely Morales and Lennon, probably, because they never showed anything. And you've got players who like to talk the talk about getting in the team and being part of the team. But surely some of these players need to stand out in games like this.
The Morales situation is odd, and to be honest, I don't think he done much at Newcastle either. After scoring against Leicester, I thought he may have come in at Newcastle. I expect them to play, and he did. I thought he'd have a bit of a point to prove, but it just didn't happen for him. But as I see in the team on Saturday, I see Morales and Lennon playing, I thought that we'd probably tear them apart, but it doesn't sound as if that happened.
It's funny, what Morales had a bit of a strange role in the game. I think Pienaar played on the left, Lennon was on the right, and Martinez seems to have said to him, you just go and play where you want, and he was roaming all over the pitch trying to pick the ball up. But I was talking about this yesterday, he seems to have lost that spark he had when he first came to Everton. He was so quick and so sharp around the area. And we're watching him on Saturday, he was struggling to get past players, his touch was a little bit sloppy. And I know that does come part and parcel with not playing many games, but he just seems to have lost that edge he had for me when he first came to the club. And you do wonder what kind of future he has got at Everton now, especially if he's not going to be performing in games like that against modest opposition. I mean, I do have a little bit of sympathy for those players in the fact that not all of them have been playing regular games. They're all thrown in together in a team which hasn't featured much at all, really, as a collective. They were playing against a team who had absolutely no intention of going forward, and there wasn't much space, but you still want to see a little bit more from them in those sort of games.
Yeah, as I say, that's the only reason I sort of picked up Lennon and Morales. The rest of the team were all just thrown in there. I thought Brian Oviedo had a decent game. I thought Jags was a little bit rusty at the beginning, but it was a good 90 minutes from his point of view. The only reason I picked those two players is they're quite sort of individual kind of players. They like to run at people. And it was really noticeable the difference between Morales and when we watched De La Feu week in and week out. And yes, we can put it down to the fact that Morales hasn't played too many games, but surely the calibre of the opposition, you would think that after an hour or so he'd be really into the game and be running at people, and it just never really happened. And he just, I know he only had one up front, so it was Coney. My nan's more mobile than Coney, let's be honest. She's been dead for 15 years. So he hasn't got much to aim at, but I was disappointed in them.
I just think for me, like from what I've seen of him, I just don't think his heart in anymore. And I've always been a massive, massive fan of Morales. I think that he'll always likely to get you a goal. And he's got like an elite of phenomenal qualities. Everyone will say that. But no, he's always likely to pop up with a goal. And he's got two good feet, and he likes to run at players. But for me, it stems back from that Swansea incident when he got sent off. He just hasn't looked right since for me. And I was surprised that he renewed his contract in the summer, because I think everyone expects him to leave.
I completely agree, George. I think the manager's lost a lot of faith in him. He doesn't seem to trust him in big games. And that's showing his performances. Look back to the West Brom penalty incident, like you said there, the Swansea one, when he trudged off the pitch at Middlesbrough, didn't go over to the fans when everybody else did. All those incidents, Martinez is probably looking at and thinking, I can trust you in a game against Dagenham and Redbridge when we're probably going to coast through, but starting at the Etihad next week, starting in a big game at home, I just don't think he's got that trust in them anymore, because he's shown he has got that bad temper, he has got a bad attitude at times, and in big games like that sort of thing can cost you. I know he's good for a goal, I know he's good for creating something out of nothing, he's obviously that West Ham game stands out there even the season, but he's just as likely to come on and do something that's going to cost you the game as it is to win it for you.
Yeah, see, I think he used to channel it a little different way, and we've seen that last year against West Ham in the Cup, where he channeled his anger into the game. He hadn't been playing, and he channeled that anger the right way. And Saturday, he just looked like, I can't be bothered with this. And it wasn't like an arrogance, like this. I'm too good for this. It just came out in his body language, almost like, oh dear, do you know what I mean? Like, I was supposed to be playing in the Champions League by now. Yeah. I was supposed to be playing for a second-rate Champions League team by now, but it's just never happened. But, it was a decent run-out. We're in the fourth round, Yeovil or Carlisle. They'll be interesting.
You can't ask for a better draw than that, though, no. To be fair.
No, I mean, home would be nice, of course. But the playing away always increases the chances of a banana skin. And if it is Carlisle, we won't know where we'll be playing them till quite late on, I think, because a Carlisle fan told me yesterday they just started laying new turf, so I don't know whether their ground will be ready. But playing at Blackpool, I think, would suit us, because I think we'd probably have more fans than they did there.
Be a good day out as well for the.
You'd be all over the big one.
I went there when we got there. I don't know if you went there, but I went when they were in the Premier League that year, 2-2, and it was absolutely battered down all day. It was a horrible game. I think it was 2-2 in
2-2,
the end.
2-2, yeah.
I think I went a few summers ago when they beat us 3-0. That was pre-season. A very enjoyable game.
But we Brightside, not go to Sandcastle.
Yeah. One in the middle of February.
Yeah, it's indoors. What are you worried about? yeah, so, I mean, that's the best draw we can possibly hope for. moving on to, obviously, two big games, two big away games, Manchester City and Chelsea. I was really worried about the Man City game, but I think I'm actually more worried about the Chelsea game than the Man City game. I think this is a good time to play in Man City, whereas Chelsea seem to be on the upward curve, and I think that's more likely going to be the more difficult game. I think Man City, I haven't played them last week, and I think today it's come out that Kompany mightn't be back till the very back end of the season. So I think it's a decent time to play City.
I think we'll definitely go there and make chances. Obviously, they're great going forward. They've got brilliant attacking players, but Fernandinho's injured as well for it, isn't he? He's not going to be playing. So you look at that, you think Kompany's not going to be in the team. I know Mangala's been dead hit and miss, but he's out to the side. Demichelis is going to be playing alongside Otamendi. That's a back four that our attacking player can get at. Lukaku, Martin, as I said, is 100% fit, ready to go. Ross Barkley, Delafeu will probably come back into the team. And if we sit and we be compact, then they've shown at times this season that they are so vulnerable on the counter attack. Look at Liverpool, the way they exposed them earlier in the season at the Etihad. Tottenham, when they beat them 4-1, again, on the counter attack, they were so wide open. So without their main holding midfield player in the team, without their premier centre back, then Everton, if they go there, stay compact, we will get a lot of chances on the break.
No, absolutely. And Kompany's absence will have a huge say in the game. But as poor as we have been defensively this season, you always feel whoever we're playing and whatever ground, he will score, because we have got those attacking outlets now that will score goals. So I feel quietly confident that we'll go there and get something.
Yeah, I think we've just got to be switched on like we were last week. First 20 minutes, they'll have a lot of the ball, and we've just got to be patient and stay compact. It's going to be interesting because Tom Cleverley's 50-50, so I'm not sure who...
I don't think he could take Bezic out the side.
No, but I'm just worried about who we play on the left-hand side. You want to stay compact. I mean, obviously, we've seen Pienaar come back at the weekend, but, you know, by the way he plays games, we won't be seeing him till March 2019. So it's going to be interesting to see who he does put on the left. Maybe with Cleverley being injured, maybe that's why Osman didn't start, maybe at the weekend. Maybe he's thinking, well, if Cleverley's not available, I might need to put Osman out there.
I'd worry a little bit about Ozzie against them at the Etihad, because Sanya will bomb on. You know, they'll have De Bruyne down that side as well. And while he did well at Goodison in the second half of that game, for a full match against Manchester City, he's not really got the legs, he's not got that dynamism anymore to get up and down the line. But what I think he might do is, thinking back to when we played Arsenal away in the season, played Delafeu on the right, and he put Aaron Lennon on the left-hand side, because I think he was quite wary about Hector Bellerin getting down that side and doubling up on Galloway. So I think that's something he might do again. He might even bring Galloway into left-back, maybe push Baines on up, give you a bit more solidity on that side. I think it's something he's done before, but the way Galloway played early in the season, it's something he might look at doing. But I think out of the main contenders for that position, I think Lennon, with his energy getting up and down the wing, we mentioned the counter-attacking just before, how he can carry the ball through phases and get us up the pitch quick. I think he might be an ideal candidate for that spot.
I think the key thing for me going into tomorrow is just getting a positive result, because psychologically you don't want to be going back to the Etihad in a few weeks on the back of a hiding, because that'll just be an absolute nightmare. So we need to come away with a positive result. If it's a point, I'd probably take that now.
Yeah, I think the other interesting one is going to be at the back. Obviously, no Seamus Coleman. I'd expect John Stones to play right back and Jagielka to come in at centre back with Funes Mori, who looks like he's recovered from his cut at the weekend. That would make sense. And again, that would probably make us a little bit more solid at the back. You can imagine John Stones playing right back with Delafeu playing in front of him. You know, you're not going to see Stones get past. We'll say that. You probably will see Stones probably overlap. But
I think over on the left wing.
Yeah, that'll probably make us a little bit more solid as well. So I think from that point of view, you know, I think we will be more solid. And it for me, it'll just be, if we get chances, we've got to take them.
Yeah, it's a game which I think Everton, even though it's at times this season, I don't think we've beat a team above us still, have we, in the Premier League, which is obviously a concern. But under Martinez, this is the type of game where we've been at our best at, and we have got to sit and soak up pressure and then we go forward, because we've got players who are so dangerous when the game stretched. Barkley, I think it's going to be a massive game for him, especially with Fernandinho being out. I think in spells of that cup game, he did quite a good job on Ross. He restricted the areas he got the ball and he got close to him and shackled him. Even though I thought Barkley had quite a good game, without him in the team, if he plays Yaya Toure deeper, you bring someone in like Fernando, who I think's really struggled since he's been at City, Barkley's going to get a lot more of the ball. He's going to get a lot more space to carry the ball forward. So it's the type of game which we've got the players which is going to suit us. It's just where we can stay compact at the back. And that's where you need your goalkeeper to be commanding, needing to be talking, you need to be addressing the back four. Jagielka's going to come back into the team, obviously, and give us that, hopefully, a bit more leadership. And like you mentioned there, Stones, while he's not a natural right back, he's probably just going to be sitting a lot more than Coleman would do, and he's a lot more solid defensively. So hopefully we can soak up that pressure and then spring on them.
Yeah, he's not a natural right back, but I think he's just a really good footballer, and he's very intelligent and he's quite very athletic, and I think he should be all right out there.
He's probably matured a lot more since he last played there as well, which should do him in good stead, because I think the last time he played there properly was at the start of last season, wasn't it, when we played Leicester away on the opening day. He started a right back that day, and I think since then he has come a long way. He's gone through a lot. He's been playing a lot more regular football, so hopefully he's matured now and he'll be a lot more switched on in that position.
And then obviously Saturday, Joe, Chelsea away, which obviously we've already beaten them once this season, so
it's time for Nacy.
Don't know if Nacy will still be at the club
farewell,
by then, but
farewell tour.
Clearly we're good enough to beat them. I definitely think we're good enough to beat them, but they are on that sort of upward trajectory, and it's not somewhere that we've obviously gone in the last few years and had much success. In fact, I think you'd have to go back to, is it 95 since the last time we beat them?
I think we beat them in the cup, didn't we, on penalties?
We did, yeah.
In the league.
I think it's 95, Paul Rideout. I think it was the second of Joe Royal's games in charge. I think that was the last time we beat them. So it's a long time.
It'll be tough, like you say, since they've got the new manager effect. But I still feel we're not going to get a better chance to go.
Sorry, 94, 95. Sorry, just because I know I know what people are like. Go on.
Yeah, like, as I was saying, obviously Hiddink's come in. Yeah. He seems to have revitalised them somewhat. But I do still think they are very vulnerable defensively, especially. And as we were just talking about then, with our attacking power now, I don't think we'll get a better chance to go there and really come away with the 3 points. And I think, to be honest, we're in danger. These next two games are absolutely huge for our season in the league, because we're in that situation now. I think you mentioned it before, but we're sort of in between where a few defeats and we could get dragged in the mess, and a few victories could propel us to where we need to be. So we need to be really careful, and we need to come out of these two games with a decent amount of points.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because there's two games for everyone here in quick succession, and it's all right sitting here going, well, we've got two tough games and whatever happens, but other teams will have two very easy games around us. I haven't looked at all the fixtures, and as you say there, it only takes a couple of dodgy results for us there and a couple of decent results, and then suddenly it might be false, or you might be thinking, yeah, but we've played those teams. But suddenly, if you've dropped to 13th or 14th, suddenly then it does become psychological. And
It does. We've seen that last season.
Yeah.
And we were literally dragged into the mess, and it was only when we won 4 or 5 games on the bounce that we pulled away. It's just so easy to get sucked in when you're in that mid-table and you go through a difficult patch of games and don't pick up points. So I think these two games could be absolutely massive to our league campaign.
I don't think Chelsea are on upward curve. I know they've had one good result, haven't they, against Palace away.
I think it's upward based on what they were doing.
Yeah, I agree. That game at Palace, they were missing 3 or 4 really key players in that match. Balassi was out, Kabai was out, Connor Wickham didn't play, and I think one of the centre-backs was missing as well. So it was a good performance from Chelsea, don't get me wrong, but they went there and they played a Palace side that was depleted. But apart from that, even watching them on Sunday against Scunthorpe, they were poor for long spells. They moved the ball really sluggishly. They defended really badly at times. They're lucky not to give away a penalty. And
that's the thing. Like, I'm always confident, but as much as the manager's cop for criticism, and a lot of it's being justified, some of it unjustified, you always know, as he keeps telling us, if we're going to Old Trafford or if we're going to Stamford Bridge or Emirates or Anfield or wherever, he is willing to go eye to eye with them. We will have a go and go to win the game. And that gives me confidence with the likes of Lukaku, De La Feo, Barkley all playing well. It does give you that confidence that we can go and get go and get the 3 points.
I think it's going to be a big game for Rom, isn't it? Because obviously he's been in incredible form.
And he's not scored since he's against Chelsea, has he? Since he signed the club. So I think it's psychologically he needs to get that goal as a forward. Because obviously I think last season when we got beat 1-0, he had a great chance at 0-0 with about 20 minutes to go. And Cech made an outstanding save. And obviously if that goes in, it's a completely different game. And then obviously, true to form, Tim Howard went into front post at the last minute.
And to be honest with Rom, I think he was a much different centre forward than he is now. I think he's a much different centre forward than he was from September, to be honest. So I think
from his point of view, though, you know, he's a massive confidence player and he's got huge faith in his own ability, and I respect that, given he can justify it on the pitch. But for me, I think he's not going to get a better time to go back to his old ground. And I know he didn't really play much and really show what they're missing, because you've seen this season how much what they'd give for a player like him now.
Definitely. As you say, I think, if we could get 4 points out of the two games, I think we'll be in Wonderland. But, who knows? I mean, as I say, City game is probably more difficult on paper, but I think just because we're playing them so often, and I'm sure the two teams have studied each other to death, so that'll be an interesting one. But Chelsea, I think it might just come down to who takes the chances.
Yeah, and that's why you mentioned Lukaku there and the way he's been playing. The thing that struck me about him most this season is the different types of goals he's scoring. And he, you know, that goal he scored against Manchester City in the week, that crossing from Gareth Barry, that's not a goal he would have scored in the first couple of seasons. His instincts.
He's being ruthless. Yeah, he has developed that ruthlessness and as a forward. Obviously what you need.
He's had two with our defence. He knows he's got to score four if we're going to win a game, so... hopefully those days are behind us anyway.
Yeah, now we've got Bessie from the team.
Yeah, now we've got Bessie. Do you want to just run around like
just
a
loon? Just need Joel in now as well.
Just need Joel. Listen, you don't have to whisper it. We need Joel in. None of us want Howard. No one wants Howard. The only person who wants Howard is Roberto Martinez. So, there you go. I've said it now. It's out there.
It's on the record. I'm sure you said it before.
Yeah, I think I might have said it a couple of times, actually. I think there might be a couple of quotes of me saying I don't want him out in the Everton team. I'm happy to stand by that. Right, Joe, what's going on in Qatar for the rest of the evening? What crazy things are you up to?
Well, at the moment I'm doing, sounds so exciting, midterm academic report, so lots of fun and games tonight, I'm sure.
When are you next back? You're gonna come back for the Wembley final if we get there?
I think I'm going to have to throw in the wedding excuse, the 28th of February. But no, yeah, hopefully I'll be coming back at the end of February for a cup final against our lovable neighbours.
Or Stoke,
yeah.
We know. I think we both know it's going to be Stoke.
We all know it's going to be. Right, Joe, thanks for joining us. We might even ring you next week. We'll see how feel.
It's been a pleasure.
We might give you a bell next week. There's a vacant spot. I think your audition went all right. So
I think I've got unique know-how.
Yeah, you've got a unique set of skills.
You might be taking one of our spots. You never know.
Matt, you're doing all right, mate. Don't put yourself down. You don't know how to press the button. So that's the Blue Room for this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a couple of wins in the bag. Hopefully. We'll see you then.